Nice to see everybody out this evening. Thank you for coming. And we hope that if you're here this evening and you have never realized your need of a Savior, you have never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, whom alone is life eternal, that you will do so tonight. Let us bow our heads and pray. Our God and our Father, we take this opportunity now to come into thy holy presence to thank thee that once again we have the privilege of being able to sit under the sound of the word of God. Not under the sound of man, for the very best of men is only man at best, but the word of God. And we thank thee that in the word of God we see how that we are born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We see how that God loved us, and he gave the very best that heaven had to bear our punishment in his own body upon a tree. We thank thee for salvation provided through the finished work of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray that this evening there might be some dear one who will realize their need, who will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we pray for great joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 which need no repentance. So we commit all unto thee then, and we ask for help. In the worthy name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I think we'll read one verse for now in John's Gospel, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3, and verse 16. For God so loved the world. It didn't just love. He so loved, it's beyond measure, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, I was thinking earlier, when I was a boy in Sunday school in Nova Scotia, a few years ago, there was a little chorus that we used to sing. 25 words in John 3:16. No greater verse has ever been seen. 12 about God and 12 about me. Son in the center. Verse 16, John 3. And that's exactly what this verse is. The first 12 words are all about God. And then there's the Son who connects us to God, because the last 12 words are all about us. There is salvation provided, and I mean, this has been stated time and time and time again. I've heard it stated from this platform a good many times over the last few weeks. There is a salvation provided for each and every one. When I think of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross and what he endured in those three dark, lonely hours, I have heard, and I don't know how true it is, but I have heard stated that the darkness was so black that it could literally be felt. Now, I don't know, but I remember years ago, we took a vacation one time to Cape Breton, Janet, and my wife, and our two boys. And in Sydney, we went down into the coal mine. Now, we didn't go into the deepest part of it, but we went down fairly deep. And they turned out all the lights. You could not feel or see your hand in front of your face like that, was that black. You couldn't move because you didn't know if you're going to step on somebody or bump into something. It was that black. The darkness of Calvary. None but God, his sight could penetrate that darkness. And he seen everything. He was the one who poured out all the judgment upon his son. And when I think of the sins that I had committed against God, and I'm not going to tell you about some of them. Number one, I'm ashamed of them. And number two, it's none of your business. But the sins that I have committed alone that he endured the wrath for, it's unfathomable. But that's just me. What about everybody in this room? What about everybody in this little village of O'Leary? Or the province of Prince Edward Island, or the Dominion of Canada, or the whole world? And he suffered, bled, and died for each and every one. There is not one person who will ever end up in a lost sinner's hell who could ever say, well, salvation was never provided for me. The worst sinner that ever lived or ever will live is not outside of the possibility of salvation. There is a fellow, and he's known quite well by quite a number here, Mr. Orzak, and he was in the home of Albert Ramsey. And he said, Albert, I can see how you got saved because you're a good living man. But he said, I'm such a sinner. And Albert said, Peter, you can't use that excuse. The Bible tells us that the worst sinner that ever lived is in heaven tonight. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, and he said that about sin, that he was the chiefest of sinners. So there's nobody that is so bad that they can never be saved. Neither is there anyone who is so good, so righteous, that they don't need to be saved. One time there was a lady, and it was pointed out that she was a sinner. I am not a sinner. Well, the brother who was talking with her, it wasn't me, he said, well, ma'am, he said, I have to make a choice right now. Well, she said, what's the choice? He said, whether to believe you or believe God. You say you're not a sinner, God says you are. I don't know what the final outcome of that conversation was, but everybody is born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We read that in sin did my mother conceive me. Now that has nothing to do with my mother or what kind of a person she was. But that has to do with the fact that I was a sinner from conception, from birth. And we go astray as soon as we are born speaking lies. How can that little infant there lie? The dad's taken out. You ever see a baby and they cry? Oh my, the poor little thing, you know, in great pain. And you go and you pick it up. No pain at all. It just wanted to be picked up. We all go astray as soon as we are born, speaking lies. In John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a wonderful fact. God so loved the world. Now, that's not the earth. Although I'm sure that he did love his creation. But the world that he's speaking of here is the world of mankind. Don't shout out, but just in your own mind, answer this question. If there was any way that you and I could be saved or could go to heaven without the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross, then why did God send him? Why did God have him come down to this earth to be lifted up between his own heaven and his own earth, as though rejected by both, definitely rejected by earth? And there, in those three dark hours, God poured out all his wrath upon his Son. He was forced to cry, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He forsook him. He poured out his wrath upon him for you and I. Sometimes when I'm reading and I come across passages like that, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" And I can get fanciful by times. Just ask my wife. I can get fanciful by times. But by times, I think I'm sending you to redeem Donald Quigley. If no one else. If there were nobody reached and saved, all from Adam to the last person that will ever be born, except one, then he came for that one. That's the love of God. We read over in John's epistles that God is love. Not that God loves, he does. There's the love of God can never really be known. But God is love personified. And this evening, he is saying, "Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then we read that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, I didn't do well in English in school. The best subject that I had in school was recess. But they tell me that this word here, forgave, you would have to say gave and gave and gave and gave to get the true meaning of it. He held nothing back. Absolutely nothing was held back when he gave his Son to be made a sacrifice for me and for you on Calvary's cross. That whosoever believeth in him, who's a whosoever? That whosoever is everyone. There is not one person, and I'm repeating myself, I know, but there is not one person from Adam to the last person that will ever live who could not be reached and saved. That includes you this evening. If you were here and you're not saved, why? Salvation has been provided, and it's free. You know, anything in this world today that's free, that's about all it's worth. But God's salvation is free to you and to me. But it is not a free salvation. It cost God the very best that he had. It cost God his son. It cost the Lord Jesus Christ his life. It cost heaven the very best that heaven had to offer. I can't think of anything that's any more expensive than salvation. And I got it for free. And you can have it for free this evening. And whosoever believeth on him should not perish. When I think of people who will be in hell throughout an ever-ending eternity, people that loved ones, people that have heard the gospel, people that I personally maybe have spoken to. I remember one man that I worked with, and another brother and I were having gospel meetings, and I invited him out. No, he said, I can't. He said, if I was to go out to your church meetings, he said, Wendy would divorce me. Wendy was his wife. The last time I talked to him, he and his second wife were having problems. He didn't go to the gospel meetings, and Wendy divorced him anyway. Why? There is nothing that should keep us, and there's nothing worth going to hell for. They used to tell a story about a man, Archibald Boyle. Now, Archie belonged to, in Ireland, to the Blasphemers Club. And every year they would have their meeting, and they would have a contest to see who could blaspheme the most. And year after year, Archie took home the trophy. One year, he was on his way home, and something spooked his horse. The horse bolted, and he fell off and hit his head on a rock. He was, it didn't kill him, but he was in a coma for a long time. And in that state, he dreamt that he went to hell. And he seen so-and-so there that he knew. And, oh, come on, let's have a game of cards. Oh, no, Archie, there's no card playing down here. And another one, hey, come on, let's have a dance. No, Archie, there's no dancing down here. And all the things that he enjoyed on earth, there's none of that here. Archie, there's nothing here but torture and torment. When Archie finally come to after, I gather it was a couple of months, and it terrified him. And he thought, you know what? I got to do something about this. He even went to a few gospel meetings. But as time went on and his friends were after him to come back into the so-called fun times. And finally, he gave in. And he forgot all about his dream. And then there come the yearly contest. And once again, Archibald Boyle took home the trophy. On the way home, in the exact same spot as the year before, the horse bolted. Archie fell off and hit his head. Only this time, he didn't end up in a coma. This time, he gave up his life. He died. Archibald was warned time and time and time again. He was warned in his dream of what lay ahead. No, he would rather have the things of time and sense. I'm going to make a statement, and I am not going to make any apologies for it. But everyone in this room who has had a time in their life's experience, when they have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, you speak to them and ask them what it was they had to give up to be saved. They didn't have to give up anything. Well, what did you give up? I gave up the things that had no appeal to me, the things that weren't worth anything. But I never had to give up anything. Salvation was free. And afterwards, then the things I was telling James at lunch, or at this morning, when it comes to giving things up, the tobacco. I struggled to give up smoking. Like I said to James, I used to give up smoking about 25 or 30 times a day. And then one day, hey, I haven't had a cigarette today. Come to think of it, I never had one yesterday. Oh, well, next time I'm down to the store, I'll buy a package. Well, I've been to the store a good many times, and I haven't bought a package. I didn't give it up. The Lord took it from me. And don't you worry about giving up anything. He'll do the same for you.